Our sermon passage today is going to be from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 5, so you'll want to find that as well. And really, two of the main portions of our Old Testament reading, we have an event of Moses and the people of Israel there, are covered in our New Testament reading here. The portion of in the order in which we're looking at it here in Hebrews 4, the reality that God speaks to us and our responsibility to listen to that as his people, and then the reality that God gives us a mediator to provide for us, a high priest to comfort us and care for us. Hebrews 4, starting at verse 11, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And then let's turn to the Old Testament, to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. I'll be reading just the first 7 verses here. "And Moses called all Israel and said to them, 'Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord, our God, made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire and you did not go up the mountain. He said, 'I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me.'" Amen. May God bless this reading and hearing of his gospel to us today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we ask that you would help us as we've read your scripture, that we would understand. We pray that as it is explained to us line by line, that we would grow in our appreciation for your scripture, the way it was written and exactly what it means, so that we would be able to honor you and live for you in obedient faith today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, congregation, the last page of the bulletin has a spot for some sermon notes. Brothers and sisters, it is not only our children who are going back to school this time of year. In the scriptures we read from Deuteronomy, Moses takes the entire people of God back to school to review the basics so that they can better serve God in this life. You see, Christianity is not just about the glories of heaven in the future. Christianity is also about giving glory to God on earth, now, today. In our passage, several times, the word today or this day shows up, and in the book of Deuteronomy, it is sort of a theme. 70 times in this book, there's a reference to today, now, this day. Today is a vital concept in the scripture, reminding Israel here in this book and us today that we're always in God's presence today. What happened to our forefathers, yes, that was in the past, but it still has meaning for us today, in the present. The law that is reviewed, as you might have started to recognize the last few verses we read, and you look at, hey, that's the Ten Commandments. I thought they were in Exodus. They are. But they're also here. As that law is reviewed now, it's still valid for that current lifestyle of Israel 40 years later, after they were first given. And it's the same for us thousands of years later, after the today of this passage, the today of this day, these words are still relevant for us. How do we live then today? And how do we know today how to live? Well, that is the theme of our passage, that Moses reviews the basic lessons of true religion for the people of God. Moses reviews the basic lessons of true religion for the people of God. And while there are a few more even in this passage, and obviously other lessons too, but I have them just summarized out as those three. First lesson is that the Lord your God speaks to you. The Lord your God speaks to you. The second lesson, the Lord your God comes near through a mediator. He comes near through a mediator. And the third lesson is, the Lord is your God. So hear and follow him. Let's look at the first lesson then. The Lord your God speaks to you. Verse 1, and in the context here, we already mentioned to some degree, Moses is gathering Israel together for a covenant renewal. The setting of this entire book, you might remember, is that this is Moses' farewell address. He cannot enter the promised land, but he prepares the rest of the people to do so. The whole book is really one or two of Moses' sermons combined together as a farewell. Moses is deeply concerned about the next generation and the generation after that, and whether it's even possible that the covenant people of God will continue over time. See, that idea of concern for the future is nothing new. And Moses was concerned because he knew how fickle and faithless the very first generation that had been redeemed from Israel was. All of them were dead 40 years later at this point, except for Joshua and Caleb and Moses. And Moses is going to die here pretty soon too, because he can't go in. Only Joshua and Caleb, the two faithful spies, get to go in. Everybody else is significantly younger than them. Will the covenant continue? Well, Moses renews the first four chapters of Deuteronomy, all of the history and the theological content of how God had cared for Israel and redeemed them from Egypt. And then after that review, he comes to the beginning of our chapter in verse 1, and he gives this formal summons. Okay, gather up. And he gives this formal summons, and then repeats the Ten Commandments right after that. We read here in verse 1, Moses called or summoned all Israel together and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The command here is to hear. We've got to be sure to hear. And when we do, the result is what the verse says. Well, you're going to learn. You're going to learn. You're going to be careful to observe the things that are being spoken. You see, the biblical faith has always been a faith that's focused upon a word that's heard. That's why Romans chapter 10 says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why Moses, in this back to school basic lesson for the people of God, is reminding us, what's the faith all about? Well, first, there's a God out there and he speaks to you. And so listen to those words he speaks. You know, those idols out there, those statues, those rocks, the sun and the moon, they don't speak. But the one true God, he speaks. And what is it that they must hear? He says in the middle of verse 1, statutes and judgments. Now, statutes were things that were often engraved into slabs of stone. That way, like you might see in a museum or some monument set up, they could be read again and again and again by the people of God, by people just traveling through. And even more importantly, by your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids. And things that are etched in stone stay. They can't be erased or altered, like a computer file that suddenly disappears or somebody goes in and changes it quickly. These are statutes, and they stand as a witness forever. This is God's will. He wrote these down, these in tablets of stone, if you're thinking of the Ten Commandments. This is God's will. And this is what he wants, and then this is also our responsibility as his people. Statutes are to be heard. Also, judgments are to be heard. And judgments is also another way to refer to various sorts of laws of God. Many times, these two words are put together, statutes and judgments. Many times when they are put together, they're put together at special moments in Israel's history, like the one we're in Deuteronomy 5, where Israel is having a renewal of what is it that we're really all about? How did we get here? Well, God made us a nation. Here's how we're supposed to live as his covenant people. For example, these words are put together again in the very next generation. Moses is about to die, and he gives his farewell address. Well, the next leader is Joshua. And in the end of Joshua's life, in Joshua 24, he's giving a farewell address. And in Joshua 24, verse 25, he tells the people of God, hear the statutes and judgments of the Lord so that you can follow them. And so when Israel hears these words put together today, that's a clue to them. Oh, this is the basics. This is back to school. This is really important. You know, the Bible is not just a dusty old book. And if it is, then get out the duster and open it so that we can read it more regularly in our life. It is full of exciting detail. And one of those is the way this verse 1 is even written. It says there that statutes and judgments are spoken in your hearing today. Well, that's how we say it in English, but that's not actually how it's put. In the Hebrew, it's a very visual word picture sort of a language. It says, speaking into your ears. Speaking into your ears. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because you've had this problem before, perhaps, where you wonder if somebody's listening to you. You think they're just nodding their head, but they're not really listening. Maybe it's your kids, maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's a friend even. They hear you, but they aren't really listening, right? That's not a problem with the hearing aid. It's not a medical problem. It's a heart problem. God can solve that problem. And he comes and he speaks right into our ears, into our hearing. And he speaks these statutes and these judgments. And we see the specific ones listed a little bit later. You have to jump past the next verses and get down to the commandments to see those listed. But let's take note of that lesson for a second. First basic lesson, the Lord still speaks to me. And he doesn't give me phone calls or text messages. He doesn't give me dreams in the night. But he speaks to me in the words of God. In the words of God. As we read in Hebrews 4, verse 12, the word of God is a living word. It's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's not a dead book. It is a lively word that's spoken into our ears so that we can be sure that we hear it in our hearts and in our souls. That's the kind of faith we have as Christians. Second basic lesson that we see from our text is that the Lord your God, who's speaking, comes near to you. And he comes near to you and me through a mediator. We see this in verse 2, that God comes near because he's decided something about who he is and who we are. He's going to enter into a relationship that's called a covenant. In verse 2, the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Now, Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai. Okay, if you weren't aware of that. So that's what that means. He made a covenant with us at Horeb or at Mount Sinai. Now, the word covenant is a very important word. We're familiar with it. See it all over the Bible, Old and New Testament. It speaks of this relationship. It has aspects to it of a contract that's binding between two people. Normally, it's used in the Bible to talk about how God has started this relationship. He is the Lord who's created this relationship with his chosen people by a covenant. And it was established by cutting. By cutting. Now today, if we said, I established a contract by cutting it up, you would say, actually, no, you just undid your contract if you cut it up. But in the Bible times, it said when you made a covenant, you cut it. Because that referred to how they made the covenants. You might remember the story in Genesis 15. Sacrifices had to be cut up when you made a covenant. This was a special contract. This wasn't just simply, oh yeah, I'll go buy a car and I'm going to sign the dotted line that I'll pay it back to the bank, the loan. This is a sacrifice was made. Animals were killed. God made this covenant with Abraham. Abraham fell asleep. He wasn't supposed to do that. So then only God could pass through the middle of these animals when the covenant ceremony was beginning. And God was promising there that I'm going to keep this promise. And if I don't, let me be cut up in two like these animals. He's making a solemn oath and promise that he will bring the blessings. He'll guarantee the blessings. And he'll be cursed if he doesn't keep his promise. Man, including Abraham, is unable to handle making such a promise and enduring such a threatening curse. So God, on his own, makes that promise for us. That's the covenant ways of God. And part of our very foundational, back-to-basic lessons of what the Christian faith is all about is that our God who speaks to us is a God who has an us to speak to because he's made a covenant with us. Not just, oh, I think I'll talk to these people down there. But he's made sacrifices and promised to the death that he will keep his promises to us. He will be our God and we shall be his people. Well, when God comes near to bring his words to us, we can handle them only through a mediator. And that's very clearly part of our passage here in verse 3 and 4 and 5. God comes near to his people. He's too much. We can't handle it. He's too full of glory. Verse 4, it says, he talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. But then verse 5 goes on to say Israel was afraid of that fire. They didn't go up on the mountain. They couldn't handle the glory of God. Well, Moses doesn't mention it here in this verse. If you go back and read in Exodus 20, when the events actually happened that he's referring to, God had strictly forbidden anyone except for Moses from approaching the mountain. The people of God could only come so far. They set up a fence to protect them. And God truly came down in the sight of all the people, but they dare not touch the mountain. The Lord is a consuming fire. And he knows that he's so full of glory, he's so holy, that we can't even handle being close to him in worship or in presence or to listen to his word. So he has to come between us and provide a mediator who's qualified. And that's who Moses is. That's who God called Moses for that job, for the Old Testament people at that time. Verse 5, we see Moses saying, I stood between. That's a definition of mediator. Boys and girls, if you were wondering, what is it? Mediator has the word middle kind of in there. Somebody in the middle between two people. And Moses stands between. Stands between. After the Ten Commandments were delivered, Israel knew they always needed a constant mediator. This God's so wonderful, so holy. I haven't kept this list at all. I'm nowhere near it. How could he let me into his presence and call me his own? And so they have that mediator to come between. Of course, in the New Testament period, we know that now, as we read from Hebrews 4, and you can see it in Hebrews 8, verse 6, and in Hebrews 1, that Jesus is that ultimate final mediator that we have as God's people. But these first two lessons go together. Once the proper mediator is in place and does his job and fulfills his mission, then you and I get to hear the words that the Lord speaks. And they are declared. We see that in verse 4. The Lord talks with us face to face. That's how we know what God's will is. When you're talking with somebody, it's like, well, how do you know what's right and what's wrong? Why should I listen to you? Well, it's not because it's in my catechism book, or it's not because that's the way I grew up. It's because the Lord said so. That's how I know what's true. The Lord has spoken. That's how we know. And because God is so holy and cannot be approached by unholy men, women, boys, and girls, Moses, the mediator, had to step in and take the words the Lord spoke and then repeat them and declare them on to the congregation. And that's what is happening there in verse 5. He says, Moses stands between and declares to us the very words of the Lord. We would be shivering in fear, far away from the light of the truth, blinded because God's holiness is so great and the blackness of our sin is so dark. We see this happening later in the chapter, the description of this, in Deuteronomy 5, verse 24. This is what happened after God first gave those tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments. In verse 24, Moses recounts, he says, "And you said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness. We've heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We've seen this day that God speaks with man, and yet he still lives. How is it possible? Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, and we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived?" And so they said to Moses, "You go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you. We'll hear and do it." From the very beginning of Israel's relationship with God through his covenant, they needed a mediator. Has anything changed? We still need a mediator. We still can't understand the Bible when we read it. We can't handle dying and going to the Lord's presence and daring to stand before God and the basis of our own faith and good works. We still need a mediator. But what has changed is that now the God who at Mount Sinai and at various moments in history was seen face to face by some of his people has come to earth face to face in the flesh. The Word has become flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. As wonderful as Moses was as the mediator, we have a greater one now in our Lord Jesus. Turn with me to those familiar words from John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John 1 verse 17. "For the law was given through Moses, But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one's seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And so there's our second back to school lesson. We have a mediator. God's drawn near to us through Jesus. He's the proof that God's come near. And God's really with us. So we have no reason ultimately to ever feel alone or lonely, because we are not alone. God has come near to us. He's still speaking to us in his word. He draws near to us in what Christ has done. Well, the last lesson we'll look at today from our text back in Deuteronomy is that this, the Lord is, it's different than the other phrases, very important, the short word is, but the Lord is your God. So hear and follow. So back in Deuteronomy 5, verse 6, we see this description of who God is. We might think that we know something about God, but who is he really? He tells us. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That's the beginning. Sometimes you call it the prologue or introduction to the covenant, to the Ten Commandments. And the Lord starts by naming himself. He says, I'm not going to let anybody give God a nickname. I know who I am. You don't have the freedom to imagine, well, my God is like this, or the God I believe in is like that. Of course, that's exactly what so many people in our world do. God tells us who he is. And then he tells us what he's done. I am the Lord, your God. Here's what he's done. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He doesn't just, I was praying that you would be able to get out of Egypt. I was wringing my hands hoping somebody would rise up against those dirty, rotten Egyptians. No, he made it happen. I brought you out. Salvation belongs to the Lord. God caused Israel to be sent away by Pharaoh. And then when Pharaoh changed his mind and went after him to slaughter with his armies and chariots, all these unarmed Israelites penned in, God, of course, the miracle, cut a path, cut a road through the Red Sea. And Israel went through on dry land, and Pharaoh, the horse and his rider, was drowned in God's judgment. All of that happens before you ever get to thou shalt this and thou shalt not that. We're reminded of who God is and the fact that he has saved us before we ever get to the point of figuring, what should I do? That's an important lesson there. It doesn't matter how much we obey God, that isn't going to get us saved. That's not the point of the obedience. When God gave the commandments, he gave it to people who he'd already saved. He is the one who brought us out of Egypt, after all. This is our God. Who has this God? Well, several times in this passage, it says, our God, your God, the people Moses is speaking to, the covenant people who he's summoned together. In verse 6, he says he is the Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt. God is a personal God. He's spoken, of course, all the people are gathered, but he's speaking to each individual believer there. He says, I'm your God, and your God, and your God, and your God. In verse 3, he wants us to understand this fact as well. He uses what you might call an overkill, an awkward way of just throwing every possible way of putting this together. And every Bible translation translates this verse just a little bit differently, because you really can't say it very well. It says, God didn't make this with our fathers. He made it with us. All of those who are here, all of us who are here, alive again and again. Didn't have to add all those extra words, but Moses did by the power of God's Spirit. Because he wanted people to know that what Moses is talking about isn't a pure history 101 lesson. This isn't ancient history. This is our history. Moses is saying, you were there on Mount Sinai. Except most of them weren't. Remember, all of them had died at this point, except for Joshua, Caleb, and Moses, and maybe a few others who were dying later that week. The only people who were there on Mount Sinai were 20 years old or younger when they were there. And then all the rest who've been born since then in the past 40 years. But by stressing, you were there, God made this covenant with you, with us, he's talking about what we call living history. Not purely a reenactment of things back in the day and we dress up a certain way and we'll tell you what it was like, but truly ongoing living history. The children and grandchildren who were in front of Moses today were represented in their parents when they were part of that covenant 40 years earlier. This is what God is telling us. And this living history moves not only backwards, but forwards. So that what happens to those people today, just like what happens to you and I today, affects our children and grandchildren. They're represented in God's covenant in the way we live and believe today. For at the end of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy 29, verses 10 through 15, Moses' audience is, there's a final covenant statement renewal again, and yet Moses says, we're not just making it with us here today, but with those who aren't, those who are going to be coming in the future. That's what the Apostle Peter is getting at in Acts chapter 2, when he says, the promise of God's covenant is to you and your children, and to those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call, on down through history, through the generations. How can this be? How can history be in this way? Does God's covenant do some sort of a time travel? Well, no, not exactly. But God himself is above and outside of time. And so he's able to make such an eternal covenant that comes and enters into real human history on certain days, certain weeks, certain months, certain places where we live. And it travels along with us through the centuries so that wherever God's people are and whenever they live, we can say, we were there. We're a part of this covenant God made at Mount Sinai. We're a part of this. Well, how should we respond? Because the Lord is our God who brought us out of Egypt. How should we respond? Well, he says, they are to hear in verse 1. And they're to follow. As that first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. God expects each individual believer to obey this command, to prioritize that the kind of God who's speaking to me, who's made a covenant with me, he's the only God who exists, and I'm going to worship and obey him. And when you and I individually, personally, hear the word God is saying, and we trust and obey, we find out we're not alone. There's other people right next to us. Also trusting and obeying so that the whole community together, as each one individually obeys, together is hearing, following, and obeying the Lord. We follow the Lord because of who he is. That's what that first commandment is getting at. That we're supposed to recognize the kind of relationship that this God has established. You see, the first commandment, as it shows up here in Deuteronomy 5, is just an illustration of the back-to-school lessons of the first couple of verses. God's the only true God who's speaking. So why would you have another God before me? He's the only one. Of course, there's lots of other opinions and religions out there in the world. But God has made us for a face-to-face relationship. As Jesus would say centuries later to his disciples, you are my friends. Immoral sex is not your friend. Drugs or drink is not your friend. Money is not your friend. A job is not your friend. Popularity is not your friend. All these things are idols, gods that get in the way, false mediators that come between you and the God who created you to be with him face to face through the Lord Jesus.
He is the all-seeing and all-knowing God who calls us. He's jealous for our worship and our love. And so as we look at this passage and put it all together, we see, you know, we're really never too old to go back to school. We're the people of God. We need all the review lessons we can get, and there are many of them in the Scriptures. Moses reviewed those basic lessons. The Lord speaks to us. The Lord draws near to us through a mediator, because we're unholy and He's holy and glorious. And the Lord is our God, so that we will personally hear His words and then follow them wherever they lead, starting with that great commandment. I don't want any other God. I don't want idols to get in the way of me being in the presence of Jesus. He brought me out of slavery so that I can live face to face with Him. So I ask you to reflect today. Reflect the same way Moses expected Israel to reflect when he first preached his sermon. What is that? Verse 1 says that after you hear, the result is going to be you're going to learn and be careful to observe the laws of God. And so reflect. Is that your experience when you hear a sermon? And when you hear the Ten Commandments, do you learn something? Do you desire to be more careful to follow? When you hear the fact that the Lord is your God and He's a God who speaks to you and He's provided a mediator, our Lord Jesus, who is our own flesh and blood, who can relate to us and sympathize with us in our weaknesses, being fully man and yet also perfectly holy and glorious, being fully God. Is that your experience? Did you learn that and you desire that? Reflect even further. Whether or not that's your experience, or very often or ever has been your experience from hearing the sermons in the gospel that is proclaimed that you've heard in your life, do you expect that? At the very least, do you expect that? That's what God wants us to do today, to understand this is His design. This is what ought to be happening. Do we pray, O Lord, give me the ability to learn more because I'm worshiping You. I'm hearing Your gospel. Give me the ability and the desire to be careful to observe Your words, whatever they are, wherever they lead, because You're speaking to me and applying Your covenant to me today. May God grant us that blessed experience, because He has made a covenant with us today. And we have that perfect and final mediator to help us, our Lord Jesus. He's on our side. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Oh, Father, how we praise, we thank, we worship and honor You for Your words. Help us to understand, to apply, to grow in our appreciation and our experience and our expectation of the experience of learning, of trusting and obeying, because You have brought us to Yourself and to Your words. We pray as Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.